Hi, this is Mac of Mac's List. Find Your Dream Job is presented by Mac's List, an online community where you can find free resources for your job search, plus online courses and books that help you advance your career. My latest book is called Land Your Dream Job Anywhere. It's a reference guide for your career that covers all aspects of the job search, including expert advice in every chapter. You can get the first chapter for free by visiting maxlist.org/anywhere. This is Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, have the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm Mac Pritchard, your host and publisher of Mac's List. I'm joined by my co-hosts, Becky Thomas and Jessica Black, from the Mac's List team. This week, we're talking about three lessons learned by one expert from 65 career conversations. We all know people who have great jobs, and we often wonder, how did they get that gig? Our guest expert this week is Polina Silyutin. She's interviewed 65 successful women for the podcast, I Want Her Job. Polina says everybody's career story is unique, but she's also learned three lessons from these conversations that can benefit every job seeker. Polina and I talk later in the show. We all know that age discrimination in hiring is against the law. Becky has found an online quiz from AARP, and using this resource can help you understand what employers can and cannot do when hiring older workers. Becky tells us more in a moment. You post your resume on a job board. Later, you get a call from a recruiter who tells you about several open positions. Then the recruiter asks, where else have you interviewed? What should you say? That's our question of the week, and it comes from listener Brenda Michael in Portland, Oregon. Jessica shares her advice shortly. As always, let's start our show by checking in with the Mac's List team. And every week, Becky is out there looking around the internet, exploring nooks and crannies for websites, books, and tools you can use in your job search and your career. So, Becky, what have you uncovered for listeners this week?
So, age discrimination is a hot topic in the job search world. The question of ageism in hiring is really a big one. It's growing as people continue working longer as they age. This is including like the huge baby boomer population, those folks, you know, working well into their 60s, even their 70s. So if you're a professional over, you know, even your mid-40s or 50s or so, you're probably thinking about how your age plays a role in your career. I think that the trend of older workers hasn't quite caught up, or the sort of like employers haven't caught up with the fact that there are more older workers in the job market. And a lot of times there's like still a lot of like stereotyping of older workers from the hiring manager side. So this sort of idea of ageism is real, and it's on people's minds as they're sort of changing jobs as they age and all that stuff. You know, if you are sort of in that age group, you probably have noticed that, you know, you're being treated differently, or you maybe suspect you're being discriminated against. It may be like a reason why you're not getting job offers, things like that. You might like sort of think about it and be like suspecting, but you don't actually, it's really hard to know and to prove age discrimination. So, you know, it's important definitely for everybody, but especially folks who are, you know, older in their careers, more experienced. You want to have a good, solid understanding of what age discrimination is and how you can be protected, how you can sort of pursue, you know, if you are being discriminated against, what you can actually do about it. So there's the Age Discrimination in Employment Act, and that is the actual, you know, law that protects workers from age discrimination. And it's specifically around age for people over 40. So today I want to share a resource that was actually published on the AARP website. I think the AARP is known for sort of retired people, but they actually have a lot of resources for professionals in, you know, after 50 and beyond. So you don't have to be retired to use this resource. It's an age discrimination quiz, and it asks you a series of questions about age discrimination, including behaviors that are protected and prohibited by the Age Discrimination and Employment Act, and what you should actually do if you experience discrimination. So I'll include the link in the show notes, but just sort of briefly, it's a fairly short quiz, but the questions were really interesting and I think would be helpful for any older professional who's in the job market. Information is really power in these situations, and when you know what's legal and what's not, you can prepare and sort of prep to handle issues that do come up in your job search, in your career. And it's not just in the hiring process. This act protects, you know, professionals in all stages of their life, whether they're working full time and they're, you know, not, they're getting passed over for opportunities or whatever it might be. It's good to know for anyone over the age of 50. So I didn't actually know the answer to several of the questions on the quiz. Mm-hmm. There were like, I think, 6 or 8 questions, and yeah. I got like 3 or 4 wrong. So I wanted to give you guys a quick test if you want to try it.
Okay.
One of the questions from the quiz was, the Age Discrimination and Employment Act protects employees against age discrimination starting at what age?
Well, it's multiple choice.
It is multiple choice.
60, 55, and 40, or all ages.
Yes.
Right?
I'm inclined to say all ages, though I...
That's what I said. It's wrong.
Is it 40?
It is 40.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it's definitely aimed at older workers. And
yep. It doesn't protect younger workers. So that's an interesting thing to know, too.
It is, because we've had guests on the show. I think it was Caleb Buell who talked about how millennials have to combat stereotypes about people in their 20s, and they have to overcome that when they're hiring. And that is a form of age discrimination, just as older workers and boomers in particular have to struggle with that too.
Yeah, but you know, millennials aren't currently protected under this act. It's just people 40 or over.
Yeah, that's interesting. I completely answered all ages as well. I thought it was, you know... Sometimes those trick multiple questions.
Yeah.
Multiple choice questions.
Oh, no, for sure. Yeah. But yeah, I thought it was interesting.
That is interesting.
If you're looking to learn more about this, if you're sort of like in that age group where you're thinking like, maybe this is something I need to learn more about, I might already be discriminated against.
Really like, valuable information that I think a lot of people don't know about.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't. I'm not 40 yet, but.
Yeah.
Good to know.
It's a popular topic on our website too. I know, Becky, we have a special section, I think, aimed just at older workers. We have articles and podcasts about how to do a job search when you're a mature worker. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad you brought this quiz to the show.
Yeah, thanks.
Good. Well, thank you, Becky. And if you've got a suggestion for Becky, please write her. We'd love to use your idea on the show. And Becky's address is becky@maxlist.org. Now, let's turn to you, our listeners, and Jessica is here to answer one of your questions. So, Jessica, digging down and deep into the MaxList mailbag, what do you have for us this week?
Yeah, this week we have a question from Brenda Michael of Portland, Oregon, and she says, this was an email question, so I'm going to read it. She says, I have my resume posted on a number of sites, including CareerBuilder, Monster, Indeed, LinkedIn, etc. I do get calls from recruiters, often located far away from Oregon, who tell me that they have a job that I seem qualified for or qualified to fill. Typically, in the course of the conversation, they ask me if I'm interviewing and if so, where, with whom, in what industry, and for what position. I always get an uncomfortable feeling. It seems as though they're trying to find out more information than just if I have a job in the frying pan, so to speak. If you have any insights or advice, I'd be so grateful. So this is a really interesting question. I really liked this question because I think it's understandable to be really uncertain about this process because it's unfamiliar to so many people. You put your resume on a website and think that those employers are going to contact you directly. But But there are recruiters out there that are also looking to fill positions. And I think that the idea of working with a recruiter is still so unknown for a lot of people as well, because I definitely haven't had a lot of experience with that. I've never worked with a recruiter directly. But we do have a really great article on the MaxList website that we just had posted a little while ago from our friends from Bowley Welch, a local staffing agency here in Portland. And it's the article is by Abby Pfeiffer, who is a recruiter with Bowley Welch. And she talks about she dispels a lot of the unknowns about working with recruiters, which I think is really valuable. And we'll put a link in the show notes of that article so that people can look at it. But I wanted to use a couple of the things that she said, because this was going to be part of my answer anyway, but she uses some really concrete information, and it's coming from a recruiter, so it's that much more valuable. But one of the things to know, and that not many people know, is that recruiters work with companies that are filling open positions and are always looking for the perfect candidate for those roles. But they do also work with job seekers, but are working to fill very specific jobs. So oftentimes recruiters don't have access to sort of the full gamut of all of the jobs that are available, especially not in a given city or anything like that. There's just no way that they can know all of the positions. And so they're working with sort of a portfolio, if you will, of a specific jobs that they're looking to fill, and working directly with organizations to fill those jobs. And so they are, they want to find qualified candidates for those jobs. And so they're going to be looking for people who have posted resumes, things like that online. And if your qualifications and your skills come up as being something that looks like it would be relevant, that's where they'll come in and contact you. And then likely, this is not Abby's words, this is now where my advice comes through. Likely, when they are connecting with you, they're going to be asking you these types of questions about where else you're applying to, what industry you're looking for, things like that, to gauge, number one, how serious you are about the job search. If the position that this recruiter is trying to fill is actually going to be a good fit for you, they're trying to just get more information, not to weed you out, but to just make sure that before they move forward with giving you more information about the role, that that it would be relevant for you. And so, so I wanted to let Brenda know that I do think that it's probably an uncomfortable feeling, because it's not very common for a recruiter to contact you, and you're expecting more of the employers who are directly looking for those positions to be reaching out. But I think that being communicative about what you are looking to do and communicating with that recruiter when they contact you, knowing already what your goals are and knowing how to communicate what you're looking for is going to give you a huge leg up. It's going to, you're going to be more prepared to answer those questions. And I also want to let you know that it's okay to, if you feel uncomfortable, to say, "Hey, thank you for reaching out. I don't feel comfortable having this conversation." Though I want to reiterate that they are looking for your best interests. And so being communicative will only help you and help them be able to advocate for you if you are the right candidate. But don't hesitate to steer the conversation, even asking for a meeting or a call to talk about the position. So if you're getting these questions from the recruiter, you can take a step back and say, "Hey, do you mind if we reschedule? Like, can I talk to you about this later? Would you give me an idea of what information you're looking to get from me?" That sort of thing, so that you are fully armed with all of the information that you might need, and so that you aren't in this position of feeling very uncomfortable, but you have enough information to feel a sense of control over the conversation as well. Because as we've talked about with I don't want to say regular hiring because this is still regular hiring, but with sort of employer to employee conversations, it is a two-way street. And so you have just as much control in deciding how this conversation is going to happen. You're not sort of at the whim of whatever the recruiter is saying and asking. You get to ask your questions as well and steer the conversation to get the information that you need to also be successful. So I just wanted to say those couple of things. Did you, Becky or Mac, have anything to add about any of that, of what you would do in that situation?
Yeah, I think that your advice is spot on, that like the recruiter is really just trying to like get as much information as they can so that they can serve you and their client, the employer, as best that they can. The only thing that I would add is maybe for Brenda to think about her approach. So she said that she's posting her resume on all these different sites and she's getting contacted by recruiters. She mentioned that they were, a lot of them were like for jobs far away. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if she wants jobs that are far away. She didn't say that in her
question.
I doubt
it. It seemed like she was, that was part of the uncomfortable feeling that she was getting.
She was not really interested in that, right?
Right.
So, you know, I think the best way to work with a recruiter is to actually like develop a relationship with somebody who gets to know you and gets to know your career goals and like sort of what you're looking for. And that includes like geographically, like if you don't want jobs outside of Oregon, like I would sort of change your approach and like contact some local recruiters that are sort of well respected and known.
Take some take a proactive approach.
Be a little more proactive to find a recruiter who can be a partner, who can actually advocate for you and find you local jobs.
So you're not just waiting for someone to contact you. You're making the first step.
And a lot of those recruiter contacts can be sort of spammy, where like they are sending you jobs that aren't actually what you're looking for, and it's sort of a waste of time. So I might advise her to just, you know, your advice on that specific question is totally right, but I think that also she might like rethink the way she's approaching it.
That's great advice. What do you think, Mac?
I think you're absolutely right, Jessica, about the importance of taking charge. And to Becky's point about narrowing your search, when we post our resumes on big national boards, often recruiters who have subscriptions to those sites are reviewing those resumes and they're looking for candidates. One reason why a recruiter may ask that question, where else have you applied, is because they may be competing with other recruiters who are bringing those candidates forward to the same company.
Oh, interesting.
And so the reason they ask is they want to find out if they'll know if multiple recruiters have been hired by a company.
Interesting.
And so they want to have that information. Now, whether you choose to share that, Brenda, it's up to you.
Right. You don't have to.
And you don't have to. One way you can manage it, if you want, is to say, well, tell me what company you're working for, and I'll confirm whether I've applied there or not.
That's a good method.
And that allows Brenda or anyone who's contacted to control the information that they want to share.
That's great. Yeah. I just want to reiterate that it doesn't have to be an uncomfortable feeling that you get. So if you ever feel uncomfortable and you can always just say, hey.
Just say no.
I don't feel comfortable giving you the information, or I don't, I'm not interested at this time, or whatever it is. You don't have to share information that you feel uncomfortable giving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you want to confirm, if the recruiter wants to share that they're working for company X and you want to confirm that you've applied there, I can understand why the recruiter would want to know that question.
Absolutely.
Him or her insights into how best to present you.
It's information gathering that the recruiters are doing, not I think that we are all very suspicious of everyone right now, of, you know, just data breaches and things like that, of like giving personal information to people that you're not sure what their intentions are and things like that. But most of the time, people have your best interests at heart. And again, just control the information that you're giving and the scenarios and the situations that you are in. So that's my feedback. And thank you guys for yours. That was great.
Great. Well, thank you, Jessica. And thank you, Brenda, for that terrific question. Now, if you've got a question for Jessica, she'd love to hear from you. You can call her listener line. That's area code 716-JOB-TALK, or post your question on our Facebook page, or send Jessica an email. Her address is jessica@maxlist.org. And if we use your question on the show, we'll send you a copy of our book, Land Your Dream Job Anywhere. We'll be back in just a moment. When we return, I'll talk with this week's guest expert, Polina Soyudin, about three lessons she's learned from 65 career conversations. We live in a digital world, and what we do online can make all the difference in a job search. Consider this. In a recent survey, 98% of recruiters said they use LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter to find candidates. If you're not on these platforms, you're invisible to employers. Yes, social media can be overwhelming, especially for baby boomers like me. That's why I built my free online course, How to Wow and Woo Employers Online. In three lessons, we show you how to make the most of social media in your job search. You'll learn what matters most to employers who check you out online, how to create and manage social profiles that attract the attention of hiring managers, and how to use your social accounts to grow and serve your professional network. To sign up for this free course, visit maxlist.org/wow. Again, that's maxlist.org/wow. Now, let's get back to the show. Now let's turn to this week's guest expert, Polina Soyudin. Polina Soyudin is the co-founder and host of the podcast, I Want Her Job. Previously, she worked in operations and business consulting for tech companies in San Francisco's Bay Area. She joins us today from Marin County, California. Polina, thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, I'm delighted to be here. I love your podcast.
Well, thanks. I love yours too. And it was a big reason why I wanted to have you on the show, because you've talked to, when we spoke, 65 women about their careers. And I know that number has gone up since our first conversation. And I know you've learned so much about what these women did to be successful, not only in their jobs, but their careers. So I'm really excited about the conversation we're going to have, and the lessons and the themes that you see keep popping up again and again.
Yeah, no, great. I'm excited to be talking to you, and it's a change for me to be answering the questions. But yeah, I thought about it, and it came down to three themes that I kind of keep hearing over and over again. And they're around networking, kind of a mindset for building a life and career, and a job search philosophy.
Okay. So that sounds terrific. And let's explore each of those. Before we jump into them, Polina, how do you choose the women that you interview? Because you have so many choices, and the people you have such terrific backgrounds.
It's a good question. I think, you know, I just follow my curiosity. I try to include people in jobs where I think the industries are growing. So somebody might hear this and say, they might think I want her job, it's actually a possibility to get that job. And if it's not a growing industry, then I think it's somebody who's done something that's really unique, that's brave, that I think that, you know, that we could learn from hearing their story. So, you know, I look for a good story, and I look for a career path that I think is growing.
And the occupations really vary, don't they? You've talked to dozens of women now, and I don't think you've had the same job pop up twice, have you?
Well, we've actually done themes. So I did a theme on impact investing. That's an area that I'm really passionate about. Done like social impact careers, like digital health series. So we're going to try to focus more on kind of tell me more, like three or four interviews on an industry. But yeah, if you look at them all 60, they kind of look all over the place. But if people are looking for a theme, I definitely think there's value to hearing, you know, three to four people that are in the same industry, because then you can hear like the different ways they got in that role. You hear their different backgrounds, and I think you'll feel more empowered that there's a way for you to get in versus it's just one person.
Well, one of the reasons I brought up the variety of occupations is because, as you mentioned a moment ago, there are these common themes that keep coming up again and again in these conversations. And why don't we turn to those? I think, did you say the first one was networking?
Yeah, networking. So everyone, you know, everyone has an opinion on networking. But the themes that I keep hearing from the ladies that I've interviewed is one of the themes was around a give-give-get mindset. So, for example, Rachel Hofstetter was an amazing guest, and she has this mantra of give-give-get. Judy Robinette was a guest on the show, and she wrote How to Be a Power Connector. And in that book, she also discusses this giving approach where you kind of go with a philosophy of not, you know, give and take, but really giving, being really generous. And then, so it's like give, give, get. So you kind of, when you meet people for networking, it's not immediately what they can do for you, but it's kind of looking at what you can do for them. The other things I learned from Judy and just hearing about how people network is to really build a diverse network. You know, we naturally gravitate towards people like us, but you know, when research and like studies show that it's actually the people at the edge of your network, the loose connections, that are more likely to bring some kind of professional lead or career development. So I think being really mindful, intentional of reaching out to people that are outside of the network that you feel comfortable with, like people just like you.
So don't limit yourself to events just in your field, but if you've got hobbies or interests or involvement in groups outside your profession, those might be good sources for job leads as well, aren't they?
Yeah, like look out for people that are in different industries that might, you know, just seem really different. And also when you are at a networking event, try to connect with people on a deeper level, like try to figure out their families, their values, like what they care about versus kind of very superficial stuff, because, you know, the deeper connection you build with someone and you're able to find kind of shared values, the stronger that connection will be. Also, from Judy's book, it was, you know, after you meet someone, ask if they have ideas or suggestions for someone else that you can talk to, so that, you know, you're always coming away with maybe other people that you should talk to. And obviously then before you ask them who else they should talk to, you should share a little about what you're hoping for and kind of be specific so that they'll know who else you can talk to.
I know when many of our listeners and people in general hear the word networking, they kind of have a unpleasant feeling, and it's something most people just aren't built naturally to do. Besides the tips you mentioned, were there other suggestions you've gotten from the people you've interviewed about how to do networking well, particularly for people who might just be uncomfortable with it?
What I loved was going places alone, right? Because when you're alone, you're going to have to try to talk to someone. So I love that idea. Going to places where you're already interested in that topic, whether it's a museum, a meetup, a talk, a conference. If you're already interested in that, it's going to be much easier for you than to strike up a conversation with somebody when you're alone, and just start talking. Don't think of it. See, don't think of it as transactional. That's the give, give, get. Try to think of it as getting to know someone and just, you know, meeting new people, and have a goal where you're going to try to meet, you know, go to one event a month or meet one new person a month. So to get yourself out there.
Well, that's the how of networking. Paulina, I'm curious, did your guests talk about the why? You know, what is the benefit of doing this? How did it help them get the jobs they had or achieve the career success they enjoyed?
Well, I think the why is what I mentioned. So the more people and kind of possibilities that you encounter that are outside of what you know to be possible, the more you'll think outside of your box, right? So just, I think it's just expanding the possibilities of the types of careers, the different paths everyone has to those careers, you know, that are possible. So just expanding your horizon really, and is the why. And then I just remembered, I had recently interviewed Sydney Thomas, who kind of networked her way into a venture capital role. She's an associate of venture capital firm, and she did 52 LinkedIn coffee dates. So she would just, I think, bought LinkedIn Premium and reach out to people where kind of for informational interviews. And she did 52 of these, and not everyone said yes, but the people who did, she made great connections and learned about so many different career paths. So obviously not everyone has the personality to go do that on LinkedIn, but I think it's just an example. Like, you don't have to be bound by traditional ways of meeting people.
Yeah, I love that idea, but I'm kind of a networking nerd. Well, let's turn to your second theme. Tell us about that.
Sure. So a lot of it is like mindset. Like, what kind of mindset do you bring in when you're building kind of a professional life and career? So I thought about two quotes. So I really like Cheryl Strayed, and she has this book Brave, and it has a lot of quotes. And there's two that I think are really good mindset when you're building a career. So one of them was believing in abundance versus scarcity. And the second one was to be more generous, 10 times more magnanimous than you believe yourself capable of being, and your life will be better for it. So I think if you believe in abundance, you'll just be more confident in searching and exploring that there's a job for you. And then the second quote, I see it as women who, when they're generous with their time and with themselves, great things come to them. So many of the ladies I've interviewed, I think, have this mentality of being generous. Like Vicki Saunders, for example, the incredibly impressive founder of CEO, leads her entire business model and personal life on like a philosophy of radical generosity. And so I think if you kind of start this approach on when you start to think about how you're making decisions, and you kind of tip your mind, like if you're on the fence towards being generous or not, if you start going towards that kind of overly generous model, I think that it'll lead to good things. Another mindset I've heard from guests over and over again is like to take on challenges that scare you. So try to be a step above what makes you comfortable, and don't be afraid of what you don't know. Ask questions. Don't be afraid to fail. So as long as you're learning. One really impressive guest I had was Kimberly Cassidy, VP of Talent for Cornerstone On Demand. And she comes to my mind because she took on a really intensive operations role. And on the show, she shared that she's had more failures than successes. And she was okay with that as long as she was willing to take chances and keep on learning. So she was okay with a correct action as opposed to no action. So I was really also impressed with that philosophy.
That's a great story, because I think a lot of people believe that if they take risks and they fail, that's it. The doors will close and paths that might have once been open no longer are available to them. But that was not what you heard from your guest, was it?
No. In fact, she's, you know, and then when you look at her, when she looks at her overall career, she's had more successes just because she's willing to try more. So those couple fails in, you know, in the bigger picture, they're not that important.
I love the story of the quotes you shared about the importance of abundance, having that abundance mindset and being generous, because I think many people think that networking is a tit for tat. It's got to be mm-hmm. transactional. And and certainly that hasn't been my experience with the people I've seen who've had successful careers. And it sounds like that's the same for you.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it doesn't have to be a huge challenge. So start small, pick an idea, you know, volunteer somewhere, send a note. If you're already at a job, send a note to be on a project or to take on a project, and just start small, start baby steps. And just getting out of your comfort zone.
Great. Well, let's turn to your third theme. Tell us more about that, Polina.
Okay. So the third theme, job search mindset, there's this book called Designing Your Life by two Stanford professors. I thought it was really great in figuring out how you think about looking for a job search. So they talk about these dysfunctional beliefs that people have, like your degree determines your career, or I have to make the right choice and then execute on it. And it really kind of shows you that those are dysfunctional beliefs and helps you reframe your thinking. Reminds us that 80% of people don't have a passion, or they're passionate about too many things. So they talk in the book about how to narrow down your possibilities to like five. I mean, we all have an infinite number of possibilities, so we get stuck in what should I do? But just narrow it down and then start exploring and thinking like a designer. So I think that was a really useful approach, and what I've seen, you know, women I've interviewed try. Like, okay, they think I could do 100 things, but I don't have time for that. So I'm going to pick four and I'm just going to start trying them and see which one works. And then the other part of the book, which I thought, how do you know which one is working? So this quote from the book, your level of energy and engagement is your clue if you're moving in the right direction. So, you know, your enthusiasm for what you're doing will be your guide, whether or not you keep going on this idea or you turn to one of the other three or four that you've decided you're going to try. And so I think that just like helps. It's just a way of thinking like a designer that adds a structure to what you should do next.
I think the point about having that short list is so important, because I'm sure you have this experience too when you talk to people about their careers or a search, and you ask them what they want to do. And sometimes the answer is, well, I'm keeping all my options open.
Yes.
But you didn't hear that from your guests, did you?
No.
So they had that short list, and I would imagine from your interviews, you could pick up on their energy as well.
Exactly. Yeah. And then for the actual job search, I think your webinar on the hidden job market is so critical. I mean, I think that you have to use your network and try to get in front of a hiring manager, be really creative in how you do it. But I think that's going to make the whole difference in trying to get in front of a hiring manager. And for people who are interested in startups, the Startup Land book by Jeff Busking, I thought was really interesting because a lot of people think, I don't have the technical skills, I can't work for a startup. But in reality, startups need marketing, sales, operations, finance. And for people who think that they're, you know, might be a little on the older side for startups, in fact, 15 to 20 years is really valuable in certain finance or operations roles. So I think that that's really encouraging for people who do want to work for a tech startup.
Well, excellent advice. And I appreciate you sharing these highlights from your interviews. Now, tell us what's next for you, Polina.
So I'm going to keep doing I Want Her Job. I hope that people check out iwantherjob.com and subscribe to the show. And I'm also starting a new one called New Roots. It's a show for helping people explore cities. If they're thinking of moving or traveling, we dive into what it's like to actually live in a city to help people find new places and new communities and maybe new roots.
Well, terrific. We will include that URL, iwantherjob.com, in the show notes. And I know you shared with Becky and me a list of some of the books you mentioned, as well as some of your favorite career podcasts. We'll include those in the show notes as well. Polina, thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you.
Take care. All right, we're back in the Maxilis studio with Becky and Jessica. What are some of your reactions to my conversation with Polina?
Well, that was so great. I loved her energy. She had so many great anecdotes.
I loved her stories.
And stories to make her, and I mean, she had the themes that she talked about, networking and I don't know what the topic was. Mindset, right. I was going to say generosity because that was the thing that I pulled out from it. And then the job search mindset type thing. But yeah, I loved all of the things that she pulled out of the people that she's talked to and what they've done and various quotes and things from books. And it was just fantastic the whole way through. And I could have listened to her talk a lot longer. And I know she was, she has a lot more to contribute, but, you know, always developing more in her podcast. But I loved her note about the generosity component of that you give, it will always come back to you. And so even if you think you're giving too much or being too generous, it will always be a good thing. I think that's just a really good reminder for everyone of, you know, in our space of wanting to find our own balance of how much we give versus our own self-care and things like that, it's always going to, even if you're feeling like you don't have the time for it or whatever, being generous is always going to be a benefit for you.
Mm-hmm. And there are ways to be generous without losing that ability to care for yourself too. I think what she was talking about, connection and just sort of like reaching out and really like, you know, creating relationships with people. I think at least for me, like that type of thing really is like, it sort of like, it feeds your soul a little bit. So like you have more to give, when you have a community of people around you who support your career, there's just so much more that you can, you can be supported to give out more because you have a community supporting you.
Yeah.
And it's just sort of like a wonderful cycle, you know,
it is.
It's like there's no limit to, you know, success. Just because someone else has success doesn't mean that they're taking it away from you, you know,
and absolutely.
That you can all learn from each other and support each other. It was very like inspiring. It's like,
It was inspiring.
It's not all competition and like cutthroat. Like we can all support each other, like a high tide boosts all ships or whatever that phrases. You know, it's, yeah, it's good. I like it.
I agree. Like the focus on networking not being transactional, but connections based, and
give
kind
first.
Of like what you were saying of, you know, you can find those meaningful connections through networking, and it doesn't have to be just small talk. And I know we talk about that too, about networking, but it was just, you know, it's always good to hear it more often.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love the connection between these themes and that it's based on what she learned from talking to women who are successful what they do.
Yeah. They've gotten to a point of success. So you know that that kind of thing works.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Generosity works and it makes a difference.
So. It's great. And yeah, it was very inspirational. I agree, Becky.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you both. And thank you, Polina, for joining us this week and sharing what you've learned from those conversations, and keep them going. I enjoy the show a lot, and I look forward to hearing her future interviews.
Yeah,
we'll be listening.
Yeah. Definitely.
Good. And thank you, our listeners, for downloading today's episode of Find Your Dream Job. Make sure recruiters and employers know what you have to offer. Put your best foot forward online today. Get my free online course, How to Wow and Woo Employers Online. Go to maxlist.org/wow. Again, that's maxlist.org/wow. And join us next Wednesday when our special guest will be Jim Stroud. He'll tell us the three things you must do to find a job faster. Until next time, thanks for letting us help you find your dream job.